Financial fallout today after the disappearance and possible murder of a Saudi journalist who was last seen at the Saudi consulate in Turkey. I'm David Brancaccio in New York. Yesterday, the key index on the Saudi stock market fell as much as 7% amid talk of economic sanctions if the journalist's disappearance in Turkey is shown to be a political murder ordered by Saudi officials. Today, however, stocks in Riyadh are up 2.2%. Some of that may be comments by President Trump on CBS 60 Minutes last night, in which he talked of punishing Saudi Arabia, but also emphasized Saudi denials and said stopping arms sales would hurt the U.S. My marketplace colleague, the BBC's Anu Anand, is in London.
Hi, David.
So the stock market, but also we should keep an eye on oil prices because of this controversy.
Yeah, absolutely. Remember that the kingdom is the world's largest oil exporter. And they've already talked about if there were any sort of sanctions or any sort of punishments for Saudi Arabia, that they will respond with even bigger ones. Now, oil would most likely be some kind of part of that. And there was this editorial that a lot of people have picked up on. It came from the general manager of the official Saudi news channel, Al Arabiya. And in it, he says that Riyadh is looking at all kinds of measures that would put pressure on the U.S. if the U.S. was to think about sanctions. These could include an oil production cut, and that could drive prices up from around $80 a barrel to more than $400 a barrel. Now, there's no indication that, you know, any of this is going to happen, but you can imagine that kind of talk is giving the market jitters, and it's worrying a lot of people about, you know, where this might go if it becomes more of a confrontation.
Yeah, right. And that $400 a barrel is the in the editorial. It's not necessarily what independent analysts are talking about.
Yeah, that's right. But it points to the kind of rhetoric that Saudi Arabia is already employing, saying, look, you know, first of all, we had nothing to do with this. But equally, if you target us, we have the clout to target you. Remember, though, that Saudi Arabia messing with its own oil production is also a bit of an own goal. The kingdom does rely a huge amount on that oil wealth. It's trying to also attract foreign money to diversify its economy. So it also has a lot to lose, both by cutting production and by upsetting a lot of international investors who it's been trying to lure in the last few months as part of its new reformed, more open economy.
The BBC's Anu Anand, also my marketplace colleague. She's in London. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Oil in New York is up 0.75%. Stocks, S&P futures are down 0.5%. London is flat at the moment. We're also covering the bankruptcy filing for Sears, which happened this morning. This is also Kmart. It's a reorganization, and a deal was reached to keep some stores, perhaps 500 of them, open for now. Some suppliers to Sears may not keep the merchandise flowing. Sears has 70,000 employees. Now to U.S. real estate, not looking great, which is an economic indicator in itself. Marketplace's senior economics contributor Chris Farrell is here. Good morning to you.
Good morning, David.
What do we learn about the state of the economy when we see these housing numbers turn a little bit south?
Let me just give you a couple of quick readings. You know, the Case-Shiller Index, this is the main home price index that's followed by Wall Street. Home prices are rising less than expected. Number of existing home sales, that's declined. The exchange-traded fund that tracks the home building industry, it's down by almost 22% this year. So it's not that surprising that the mortgage finance giant Freddie Mac, they came out and they predicted that home sales are going to decline this year.
And this is what our central bankers are engineering. They are raising interest rates to tap the brakes on a little bit. And here are the brakes coming on.
Right. We have mortgage rates are nearing 5%. So to one extent, you would say, OK, this is the pause that refreshes. And the central bank is kind of raising these rates for the overall good of the economy. But here's the question, David, and this is a question that's going around Wall Street a lot more these days. We have a strong economy, and typically in a strong economy, the housing market stays strong. So is this weakness in the housing market signaling something bigger about the overall economy and less about the Fed raising its interest rates.
Or it could be signaling something about us, we consumers. I mean, many of us have debt, and maybe we can't take on more debt.
We've been taking on a lot of auto loans. We've been taking a lot of credit cards. Student loan debt is now $1.5 trillion. So that means student loans are now the second largest component of household debt after mortgages. I mean, that's really a striking figure. So that's one half of what I think this decline in home prices is telling us. People got a lot of debt right now.
All right, so debt, but what's the other half of the equation as you see it, Chris?
Well, it's slow income growth. And I think what we're seeing in the housing market is that investors are recognizing that the gains in the housing market have simply outran the income growth. And investors are sort of saying, I don't think it's going to change that much. I think what this what's happening in the home market is telling us is that wages are going to stay low, income growth is going to stay low. They're going to improve, but it's not going to be great. That's the signal from the housing market.
Marketplace's senior economics contributor Chris Farrells in St. Paul. Chris, thank you.
Thanks a lot, David.
Back to Sears filing for bankruptcy this morning. People have been emailing us with Sears stories. One person just tweeted us about using a canoe they bought at Sears back in the 1970s to rescue people the other day from Hurricane Florence. What did Sears mean to you? You can email talktous@marketplace.org. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.